This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast.
The Gary Cantrell Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to another Behind the Song. And would you guess it, back on with me today, Cousin Larry. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm good. I'm good. Ready to do it. It's a lot of fun talking about our past musical experiences.
Absolutely. Well, today we're going to take it back to 2001.
Dude, 2000, that's how long ago this was?
2001, November of 2001.
A year out of high school, man.
Jeez. A full year and some change out of high school. We were in a band called Good Day Gone, and I'm trying to remember where the name for this came from. Do you remember anything about this?
It was out of a Robert E. Frost poem.
I don't know who the hell that is.
But no, that wasn't the name of the poem, but I just remember we were just looked up random poetry, and I think I knew of Robert E. Frost just from English class or something. Right. And one of the poems that said Good Day Gone, I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Has kind of like an ironic sound to it.
So you found it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Larry taking all the credit here.
It came out of a poem, and I remember us like that just sounded cool.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be deeper than that. It sounded cool.
That seems to be a theme with you, Larry. I remember on the first podcast we did a couple podcasts ago, you're like, the yielding. It just sounded cool.
It's band name thing is that's incredibly hard to come up with.
Yeah.
Incredibly hard to come up with.
It is very hard to come up with. I remember these conversations that we had. We're just like, what do you call a band? Like, we need something cool. And there were so many cool names. Like, for people, just to give you an idea of the perspective, in 2001, we were, you know, here in the Northern Virginia, D.C. Market, and you had bands like Fairweather, you had bands like Over It, you had bands like, I mean, just all kinds of amazing bands. I remember our buddy Ben Jinxed at 12, he was playing some good stuff. There's a lot of bands just in this area that were doing a lot of cool stuff. Who else?
Three Flights Up.
Three Flights Up, yes.
Three Flights Up. There's, Standard Issue.
Standard Issue, yeah.
Three Flights Up. There was Boxcar Children.
Oh my God, that was one of my favorites, who later went on to become Mirai.
But it's just like, yeah, like, it's like, how do we come up with a name?
Yeah, what's in
one
a
of
name?
The most difficult? We would literally talk about it for hours, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And this was a band that came from the ashes of our last band, Gatewood. There was me, you, Chris, and Eddie. Am I missing anybody? No, it's just four piece. RJ was there. Sorry if you're watching this.
Initially.
RJ, he was there. So he left. Then I left. And then you guys brought in Jeremy. And then like a month or two later, you guys just completely disbanded. And at that time, I met this guy, Jason, and we were talking about jamming. And I think, if I remember correctly, was it you and Jason or Jason and Chris? Somebody was talking, and you're like, well, hold on a second. It was like you and Chris on one side,
me
and Jason on the other side,
and we started talking to Jason, too, and then we were like, hey, well, duh, let's just, you know. And we just decided. It was after our, like, second Palace Theater show, that show with Jeremy,
yep.
Chris and I talked to, I think, either Jason or you and Jason in the car after that show and said, let's do this.
I think you guys talked to Jason first, because I remember him coming to me and saying, yeah, I was actually talking to Larry and Chris. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What? Excuse me. Like, that sounds amazing. Like, I was all in, man. But at first I was just like, I remember being very, very surprised. I was like, oh my God, really? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, that would be awesome.
Mm.
So, because, you know, when I left Gatewood, there was never bad blood. It was more or less I lacked the confidence at that time, because a lot of stuff was being written by like you or Chris or Eddie or whoever. And I really didn't have a part in writing. I was more or less doing lyrics that were given to me. And we found out that stuff that I didn't personally write, I was not quite as good at. Whereas you give me something that I've written and I can handle it a lot better.
Yeah.
So, but this is actually our first EP. We also had a demo, which you guys will hear in another podcast. We'll do one of the songs from that I sung on, but this was today on the podcast. We're going to talk about 6 months to extinction, and I'm thinking about it. It's 2001. This is just after 9/11. I remember my grandfather died earlier that year. I'm like, my head was in a really dark place when I wrote the lyrics for this song. I actually wrote most of this, and then you guys added in some stuff. So why don't we go ahead and check out some of it?
And there's before the viewers and listeners hear this, you'll definitely be able to hear Gary's love of Metallica come through in this song. Because, it's definitely influenced by Metallica.
I'm just shaking my head.
That's not a bad thing.
Well, no, it's not a bad thing until you go in there and go, yeah, you know, until you pull a Hetfield on the actual vocal for crying out loud. So here's a little bit of 6 months to extinction. Oh, I realized that I had it muted.
I also didn't have my headset volume up as loud as it needed to be too. So that helps.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, so let's hear a little bit of this 6 months to extinction right here. I can hear that icebox chorus pedal on my guitar. We had a little bit of these background vocals, this ooh, I love that. Chris has just got that little snare going. This is probably one of my favorite parts of the whole song, is just this riff.
Yeah, it sounds good. I always thought your guitar sounded way better than Jason's. I don't know what was going on, but
I can tell you exactly what it was. Pause. So you talk about the Metallica influence. So at this time, back in 1999, my first job was working at a McDonald's, and I busted my ass for this shitty job for 3 or 4 months, and I saved up because in the Mars Music catalog, they had an ESP LTD Explorer, the same body that James Hetfield played. It was a black guitar. Mm-hmm. I think it was $299 at the time. I wish I still had this thing, but I sold it like an idiot. But the point is that shortly after I got it, I actually went to Guitar Center and I bought the EMG 81 humbucker to put in the guitar. And I went over to some place in Springfield and had some guy put it in. I was without the guitar for a couple of weeks, which really sucked. But anyway, I had the EMG humbucker on it, and this some bitch sounded so good.
So the sound was the pickup.
I think so, yeah. Because the guitar, it was the LTD model, which is kind of like the Squire to Fender. You know, like it was, you had ESP and then you had LTD, just like you have Fender and Squire and Gibson and Epiphone. Like you have these cheaper models. So, you know, I mean, I think the guitar was well made. It was built like a fucking tank, but, you know, it was having the pickup in there, I think helped a lot, because I certainly didn't have a great amp. I had one of those Crate GX 1200s or something that was just really not all that great at all, but the EMG on it. Yeah. But I also, when I did my EQ on the half stack, it was very much like Metallica, because I would take out the mid range completely and would just do all treble, all bass, which is what I read is what they used to do back in the day. Cause of course I'm a Metallica freak at that time. And so not that I'm not now, but at that time I was big into Metallica. So that's where some of the sound comes from. So.
But with different range, because we're talking then again, this is 19 years ago.
Yeah.
God.
I know. I feel so old.
But it's cool to hear us in like a full band.
Yeah.
Like instruments, electric, like a full band. It was really cool to hear us in that setting.
Oh, definitely. I loved it. I loved it.
I like this part. I like the beat on this part. Where the beat switches up, that's really cool.
Yeah, that I was going to say, it was only a week ago that I was thrown from a car window with my brains bashed to shit on the pavement. Like, what in the fuck, Gary? Like, what were you thinking? Like, what, where is your head at in these days? Like, oh my God. Like, the lyrics are so dark, bro. I don't even know where that place comes from.
I have a little bit of insight on that.
Okay. Help me, please.
We were also not only just like Metallica, but we were also heavy into Saves the Day.
Yes.
And a lot of his lyrics are dark, like really dark. But like, so I think also too, you're trying to like, we're trying to like write like lyrically dark stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause I think that was, that seems to be a lot of influence.
That seems to be a lot of what we're doing is like, we're really into this. We're really into that. So let's try to write something like that rather than necessarily writing kind of from the heart and where our mind is actually at. Cause that seems to be like what I was doing here, where I was just like, I'm just going to write, you know, what sounds cool like this. And, you know, when you're younger, that's kind of what, where a lot of this stuff comes from. And then eventually as you grow, you find your true voice.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Oh, that's totally Fairweather right there. Yeah, to care. I'm sorry, Jay. I didn't mean to disrespect you in such a way. it's kind of, again, it's that thing where the things you're listening to at that time influence what you're writing. And yeah. If They Move, Kill Them was a legendary record at that time. So.
Oh, yeah. Let It Play. I think this song being re-recorded would sound amazing.
Probably.
Like the music is good, the drum beat's good.
Come on. Go ahead, sorry.
Like that sounded good, it's just funny.
Yeah. My last request before I die is that you get over your shit and apologize to me. That's my last request. Just apologize. Okay. It's kind of cringy to listen to this stuff now. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I like a lot of it, but at the same time, it's weird.
Yeah. I think when my vocals come on, I'm going to be like this.
There's that Metallica right there. There, I mean, there was definitely some cool, like, dynamics and shit here. Like, I really enjoyed, you know, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Did we play this at our favorite Good Day Gone show, Providence Rec Center? Did we play this?
Probably. We didn't have much, so.
We played a few songs that we never even recorded that were awesome.
Yeah, there was like, what was it? Take It to the Bank or Money in the Bank or some shit.
Take It to the Bank. That it's like a minute and a half, like really fast punk song we opened with.
I love this right here.
Yeah.
Right. A little harmonics in there. I love that. That's that EMG humbucker, baby. Say it.
The bass sounded good on this.
Oh, it always sounded good.
So I think I ran it direct into the board, I think.
Yeah, you always did a DI on that. Hold on.
I know you're going to talk about that part.
Let me go back just a few seconds. Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what happened there.
I was looking at one of you guys and I started laughing.
So it was an actual laugh, a half laugh.
A half laugh. Yeah. Let's okay. Play that one more time. And we never fixed it, by the way. I don't know if in 2001 Ben could have just like highlighted control copy and then control paste. That would have been amazing, but what are you gonna
definitely do? He definitely didn't have Pro Tools in 2001.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. Yeah.
It's over already?
That's it. 5 minutes and 10 seconds.
I said five. My guess was 5:15.
Oh my god!
I knew it was around there.
So yeah, dark times. Apparently, dark lyrics, dark all everything around. I don't know, but I mean, I'm just listening back. Along. Oh my god! Crazy.
Yeah, like what you said. What had happened? What had happened right before recording that?
So my grandfather died in June. 9/11 of all things happens. So like just in general, like a dark headspace, Durka. I guess. Yeah, it's crazy.
And 2 years after that, my dad died, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a dark song, but it was fun to play.
Oh, definitely.
It was really fun to play.
Definitely. Well, that's 6 months to extinction. It's like, Jesus, it's quite a name, quite a lyrics, but a rocking song. I'll tell you that right now.
That was probably our darkest song.
It had to be. And that was on the Swing for the Fences EP. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up, Blair?
I just remember that song. I remember I loved playing it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just remember listening to it. I'm like, man, this is a little too long. Like listening to the recording, but that's really, I never really had any bad thoughts about it.
No, it was a good time for sure.
I'm not looking forward to getting into the ones where I sing. Cause then I'm going to be like, really, you said you hearing yourself now, you're like, oh, like cringing. Like I'm going to be the same way, dude. I'm like, oh my God.
It's very cringy. So with that being said, we're going to wrap it up for this particular podcast. And that was Behind the Song, 6 months to Extinction. Thank you, Larry. We will talk to you guys very soon. See ya.
Bye, y'all.